This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you very much. And I'll just go through the attendance quickly. So it's me, Chris Dillon, Mert Zaka, Mirjana Tosic, Milton Ham, and Samad Hussain. Also a number, there's some strange telephone number, which I don't recognize. Is anybody else on the call today? I'm just going to be going through, first of all, various parts of the draft panel formation proposal, and I'm not doing them in the order which is on the agenda. I'm actually going to start with the work schedule. So the idea is that we have a look at things which are sort of near a completion rather than things that are just being started. So anyway, that's the document I was trying to display, and now we've got it up on the screen. And so basically this is something which is based on the timeline which the Arabic generation panel used. So roughly speaking, the amounts of time being used in the schedule you can see in front of you is what happened with the Arabic panel. So we're guessing that things may take a similar amount of time, but there are some factors which mean that we can move more quickly, and there are some factors which mean that we can move slowly. So the factors that mean we can move more quickly is that actually the Arabic generation panel has already done the work, and so, you know, we can learn quite a lot from what we did, so that's a big advantage to us. But the factors that will be slower is that we have a bigger repertoire, and also we have a smaller team. So that will slow us down. So that's really the sort of macro view of this. But you know, really, the idea is that this is a sort of a rough schedule for all of the work right till the end. And so, you know, one of the next major goalposts is the creation of the draft proposal, and we're scheduling that for the Marrakesh meeting. And I think, yeah, we're making fairly good progress with that. In fact, the work that we were doing on the code table, the Unicode code table, you know, is actually work that is happening after Marrakesh. So there are even some things where we're a bit ahead of ourselves. So I wonder, are there any comments or questions about any of these items? Hearing no comments, then I think one comment I would like to make is that one of the things which could make a really big difference, so we're probably talking at about 4 months difference, is whether we need variants. So it took the Arabic panel 4 months to deal with variants. So, you know, obviously our report, the considerations in the use of the Latin script in variant internationalized top-level domains, that report basically says probably no variants for Latin. But there does seem to be an expectation that we declare at least cross-script variants. So, you know, the biggest case of that is probably with Cyrillic, because there are lots of letters of the two alphabets, Latin and Cyrillic, which are actually the same letter. They, you know, they come from the same letters, and you know, they are absolutely identical. So there does seem to be an expectation that we will declare cross-script variants, at least with Cyrillic and probably Greek and possibly even Armenian, the other script. So that may not take a full 4 months, but it may take some amount of time. And also, there is, certainly looking at the code points that we were going through recently, there are some cases there which I think some people would regard as variants. So, examples would be, let me think, so Latin small letter A and Latin small letter alpha. Those are potential variants because they come from the same letter originally. And there may be a couple of other cases of that. Also, there are some cases which may look like variants and I think officially are not variants. So, the example of that would be Latin, Latin small letter schwa and Latin turned E. Now, those two code points look very, very similar or even the same in some fonts. But because they are actually not the same letter, I don't think they're variants. They are visually similar, but they're not variants. So we actually have to, I think we have to keep apart those two categories of things as we do this. Certainly, if we look at homoglyphs, so variants in a very strict definition of the word, then there don't seem to be many cases, but, Samad is then picking this up. So how will we define variants in the Latin script? Well, this in itself is something that would take some amount of time to refine because at the moment I've really presumed that what we would do is we would say that Latin small letter A and Latin small letter alpha may be variants because they both of them come from the same letter. That might be a candidate, but I'm saying that schwa and turned E may not be variants because although they are visually similar, actually they don't come from the same letter. They have a completely different history. But that's only one possible way of defining things. Even things like, just responding to what Farmad is typing in the window. So we would say that it would depend. We need to have a longer discussion about exactly whether we are going to define them at all, and if we're going to define them, then actually how is that going to work? So the ideas I've just expressed, that's one way of defining them, but it's not the only way. So that is something that I think we are certainly going to have to spend some amount of time on variants. Hope it's not the whole 4 months, but possibly some amount of time may be necessary. Okay. I wonder if there are comments about any of the other stages. Certainly what we do about variants will affect when we finish. There's no doubt about that. All right. In that case, let us move on to the other part of the work schedule, which is relatively near completion. Of course, you are welcome to pick up things in the work schedule at a later time, but just for today, I think we should move on. And this time, we're going to have a look at the work that Mirjana has been doing recently on the list of languages, and that will form one of the appendices of the work proposal. proposal. So it is wonderful news that we now have a really good first version of that. And now I would like to. Seriously good. Stop sharing. I'm hoping this is going to be quick to upload. It's rather a large file. There is a conversion process. Actually, there is one thing I can say even before we see it, and in fact, it has played fantastic. One thing, obviously, we need to say a huge thank you to Mirjana. It's just this. I think it's really going to shorten. This is actually another major thing which is going to shorten what we're doing here. This will have an effect on our timeline because I think we couldn't have expected to have got this done so quickly. I've been looking at it, and obviously I find sort of really small things, and Unhan kindly found a rather larger edit in line 61, but I won't pick that up now because an email correspondence about that was repeating it. But, basically, again, this is a document that we need to be looking at, and I haven't found anything particularly large in here, but one thing I did notice was the very large numbers of languages with EGID level 5. So, I think before this work was done, I hadn't realized that there are 110 languages with EGID level 5, approximately. That's an absolutely gigantic number. And it does, I think, rather affect the approach that we are taking, because I think until now, perhaps, I'd been thinking, probably if it has EGID level 5, then we should look very seriously into adopting the code point. So, say, in our list of code points, the EGID scale is something which is used in Ethnologue, on the Ethnologue website, and it's a fairly good indicator of how big a language, how important a language we're dealing with. So, the really big languages like English and Spanish and Arabic, and these really large languages, Chinese, these will have EGID level 1. And quite a few of the other code points in our list, they will have EGID levels 2, 3, and 4, and we had a bit of a discussion about Esperanto, because Esperanto, although it's a major language, there are several million speakers, and there's a literature, and it's definitely a current language, it actually has EGID level 5. I think it's probably because I don't think there's any country in the world where Esperanto is actually the main language that they speak. So, Esperanto tends to be a language which people speak as a second language. But that has EGID level 5. I think certainly tentatively we were saying that actually the code points necessary for Esperanto, there are 5 of them, they should probably, because although it's a level 5 language, we were saying, probably should be allowed. But because there are so many languages with EGID level 5, certainly I think if the number is 5 or 6 or below, then we have to really make a strong case at this stage. We cannot just presume that because Esperanto has got through, that other languages with level 5 will automatically go through. That's really. All right. I wonder, I'm hoping that people will come back to this and add other comments, because really ideally I think all of us should just look at the languages in our areas and just see if we can spot. And obviously, when we return, and this is actually to reply to Ahmed's question about, is this the main work? Actually, no. The main work is in another file, which is the list of code points. Now, the list of code points we have been working through, and basically it's a very simple list, because if it's in black, it means we think that this should be part of the repertoire. But if it's red, tentatively we think that it shouldn't be. So that's how that list works. Now what we can do is we can go back to that list. And obviously, at the beginning it's really good because everything's looking very black. But as we go down the list, it gets redder. There are some very red parts of that list at the moment. And what we can do is we can look and we can use this list to get more information about those languages. So often there will be a comment in the code point list which will say something like, we think that breathes are used. So breathes look like little, it's like a U, but it's a sort of a shallow U. And that's a diacritic which goes over vowels, and we think that breathes may be used not in Vietnamese itself, but in other languages spoken in Vietnam. So what we can now do is go and check. If we suspect that that may be used in a particular area, what we can now do is go and look, is it actually used? And one way of doing that would be just going through the language map and just checking. It's quite laborious, but that is the sort of thing that we can use this for. Eventually, once we've created the proposal, and this I guess will be in April time, we will actually have to go through that list very, very slowly, pick up all of these things. And I'm seeing here that Ahmed has found. So I will, I always go through the chat window at the end of the meeting. I'll take notes, and so if there are corrections, we certainly end up and create a new version. And Mirjana, I'm wondering, Mirjana, if you'd like to speak a little bit about this document. You know a lot more about it than I do, to tell the truth. Would you like to?
Yeah, it's okay. I can try at least. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Hello.
Okay.
Hello. I just typed to Ahmed that I started with the list of languages. At Omniglot or whatever it is pronounced in English site, I put it in a table and started to fill the table using information which are written on ethnology site. So it was a lot of let's say physical work to do it, and also I made some mistakes during this work, so I'm I want to ask everyone to look at this table and to point to every mistake which I made involuntarily, because I had almost 500 languages to process. I think I said the main things. If someone else has some questions, I'm very pleased to answer them. So I finished. Okay.
I think that probably both of these files, both the language list and the code point list, these are things which we need to spend a lot of time looking at. And as we do so, we will find improvements in both lists. I'm not intending just to go through slowly during a meeting. I think it's not a good use of time, but that said, in April, I think we probably do need to come back to the code point list, and at that stage, we really are wanting to clear up any problems that we haven't been able to do before then. But obviously, the more that we can get done before April, the better, because it would just mean that the work gets done gradually, and we're not sort of spending huge amounts of time just on one code point, which probably we will have to do, but we don't have to do that. Okay, there are some quite technical things about particular languages going on in the chat room, which again I'll follow up after the meeting. All right. Now, I think what we probably should do now, unless there are any other comments, so I can see one, so I'll pick that. Now, there's some, I think Anna's writing something about combining marks.
Hi. In Vietnamese, there are some of the combining marks that are belong to the alphabet. And they stand alone. And so the way that Unicode did was to include the combining marks into as part of the alphabet, so that they can stand alone if need be. So my question is, if you talk about code points, then combining marks have code points also. Sometimes we could say that the French word la, L-A, with grave accent is considered sometimes equal to L-A if the typewriter doesn't have an accent grave. And when they're sorting, they're next to LA. In that sense, it looked like the accent grab is an independent code point. But in Vietnamese, they are independent code points.
Yes, so... within Unicode, often there are different ways of representing something that looks the same on the screen. So I think one of the examples that people tend to give is something like C. Cedilla with an acute accent. And they say that you know, one way of expressing that is to have the pre-composed form, which is just one code point which deals with all of it. But other ways would be to have C acute with a cedilla, or C cedilla with an acute. So, you know, lots of different ways of dealing with what looks the same. So in the Vietnamese case, we've spent a little bit of time looking at the code point list, and there's quite a large block of code points for Vietnamese, but they're all pre-composed code points. So the big question, and it's actually not just for Vietnamese, it's for all of the languages, is are the combining marks needed for letters which are not in that code point list?
It would argue the reverse. It was argue the reverse when it was started in Unicode. Like, the axiom grab, if they exist, then you don't need a code point for A with axiom grab. So that, the reason for the axiom grab to be independent is when you sort it, and you need to separate the axiom grab from the pre-composed A axiom grab in order to make the sorting correct. And so, in a sense, if you use it as a code point, sometimes you don't see the similarity between the one without the code point and the one with the code point, with the combining mark. The one with and without the combining mark are exactly almost the same. And they were looking for the one without the axiom mark, and they expect to have the one with the combining mark. That is the code point we use. The code point in print, we could argue like you did. And it simplifies the problem. But on the other hand, if you chose to have the other scenario, then the separate combining mark is more useful in a sense. It's really more in use than the one that is a pre-composed.
I think it's true that the combining marks in some ways are more useful, but that is also part of their problem, because they're very powerful. And you then have to be very careful that if you need them, that they cannot be used in situations which, you know, where actually they aren't necessary. But perhaps that's the other side of the usefulness.
Yes. But if you argue the same way the other way, then it restricts the language to the only thing that you are pre-composed. And if somebody tried to say something new, like putting a breath on top of an I in Vietnamese, then you're not allowed to do it. Because you are pre-composed, and there is no such code point for you to do it.
No, there isn't a rule. So at the moment, in the table, there are no combining marks. So, you know, our main table doesn't have combining marks.
Yeah, I know.
However,
that. Yeah.
There are some combining marks which we could put in the table. That they are available to us. But at the moment, the attitude we take is, if we need them, we'll add them. And we'll probably also have to write rules saying, "Oh, you can use this in this situation." But you know, if they're necessary, then we will bring them in. But they need to be, it needs to be for languages with, in modern use. That's really the...
Yes. In several new situations that happen right now in cell phones and e-book. The young people was using a tilde or an accent mark on a vowel because they are shortening the words in order to type it fast, and they use that a lot, and it becomes part of the dictionary. In the sense that if you write the NH, U horn and tilde, and G, then you could write NHG with a tilde, and it is the same word. And the tilde can be used for a consonant also.
Yes. I mean, there are uses of tilde. Well, actually, I think the original use of tilde is actually for the swirl over the M in Spanish. It's a Spanish word which is used for that diacritic. So, tilde definitely can go on some consonants, or it has been able to.
Yes. And also in Vietnam, in the old day, like the 16th century or 17th century, the missionary who tried to write Vietnamese in Latin script, they used the tilde to denote a closure of a vela nasal. The vela nasal with a closed lip, and so they write it on top of the consonant and to denote that this is an ong with a closed lip, and they used to do that, and they mark it as a tilde on top of the consonant of the vowel at that time. To signify that it was not a tone mark, but it was a marker of a very strange vela nasal.
Yes, I mean, fortunately, well, in a sense, we can restrict ourselves to things which are currently being used. There is also an issue over whether it's part of an official orthography or not, and that could be part of that.
I try to understand in order to contribute to this table and to do that in a sense.
We are very grateful for your help because it's quite clear that. Vietnamese, as soon as you look at it, I think there are very few, like probably very few languages which use as many diacritics on Latin, so
that's the invention of the accent on Latin languages at the beginning to apply to the tone marks in Vietnamese, which is very nice, very smart, and that makes us very close. Very close today, but it's a few more combining marks that come into play. But it's interesting, and I liked it. We tried to change it, and we couldn't change it. It was so smart that we couldn't change it.
A good job was done. Now, actually, Samad was adding something in the chat room about combining marks, and she's saying that. There are quite a few restrictions, and he's mentioning it's Form C, so it's the decomposed form C, that's an SC form. It has to be those, and there may even be restrictions within that. But there are certainly some combining marks which we may need to pull into our list. So I think what we need to do is to find cases and say, okay, we would like to have this here.
Okay, that's my comment. Thank you.
And obviously, not just from Vietnamese itself, but from other languages being spoken in Vietnam.
In Vietnam, yes. That's true.
In Vietnam, yes, in Vietnam. All right. Okay. Well, that touched on all sorts of very interesting things, and I'm wondering if we want to spend more time in this document today, or whether I can try and load the proposal itself. I'd like to do that just briefly, because it just gives you an idea of another piece of work that we're doing. Stop sharing that. Now, this is only the beginning, so I started drafting some parts of the formation proposal. So I did, I suppose, some of the easier things. Oh. Okay, so this was very much a first go at doing this, and the problem with it is that, of course, because I know some European languages and a few East Asian languages, but this is one person's approach. So what you end up with is lots and lots of German and Norwegian and Spanish examples, and not very many examples from other parts of the world, and actually are many. Okay, so again, I think the useful thing for me to do here is just to say that I've started this work, and I would really like your help in getting better examples, and also, there are other things such as, I think at one stage people actually have to fill in a brief section on who they are and what their specialities are and that sort of thing, and that is separate from CVs. So some people have sent in CVs because we have to make CVs public as part of this proposal. So basically, send me, if you haven't already done it, send me your CV. And it has to be a CV that you would be happy being out there in the public forum. So it's not the same as the sort of technical long CV with address details and things like this, which you sent in at the beginning of the working group. It actually really has to be dedicated to just a short CV for this proposal purpose. And yeah, so the other things I'm asking for are really just, so it's examples from other languages, and also, we really need to have some kind of analysis of how we deal with the Latin script, whether we split it. I mean, I'm suggesting here something like Europe, America, Africa, Central Asia. But we need to work on some sort of breakdown for this, I think. And also write brief notes on the Roman script as used in these areas of the world. And to give you an idea of that, actually, Michael isn't on the call today, but Michael Moomin at one point did a brief description of the use of the Latin script in Africa. That would be absolutely perfect for this document. So actually, one of the things I'll do after this is just contact him and ask him if it's okay to use it, because that would certainly just fill in some of the blanks. I mean, also some quite difficult questions like, is the use of the Latin script increasing? So basically, as you scroll down this document, you'll see more and more of situations where instead of having text, you've just got questions which really need to be answered. So I would be very grateful, you know, if you happen to know the answers to these questions, or you're happy to do a bit of research and answer them, then please do so. I would be very grateful. Very much speed up what we're doing. Yeah, because as we get down, you can see many areas which still require quite a lot of work. Work plan, well, we've got some ideas on that. And then right at the end, we've got some of the languages using the Latin script, we now, to Mariana's work, we have a rough version of that. Incidentally, at the end of the document, there is a test area, which is just a list of Latin code points. And as you can see, I don't know, perhaps you can see more of them than I can, but actually there are quite severe display problems. I think that's the problem with Adobe Connect. I haven't noticed problems with Adobe Reader seems to be okay, but I think there are issues with Adobe Connect. But it just means that during our meetings we may have something. But we use PDF is probably the best one. We've also had some problems with Word not displaying characters correctly, but I think Adobe Reader is usually all right. Okay. Well, I don't know. I'm hoping that people will volunteer to do parts of this document. I mean, I'll do as much of it as I can, but I would be really grateful for help. And I think perhaps, let me just ask you, is there any comments people would like to make about it?
Short one. In the bibliographic, I used to do with to list dictionary. Is that okay?
We can list really any document that we are using. Well, it's actually not just published documents, so. You know, it might be something like considerations in the use of the Latin script, that document, and various other variant issues, project documents. But it's also going to be websites such as blog and and then actually Unicode itself, because that has some very, very useful.
Yes.
Unicode website has some very useful parts, and so it's. Yes, I mean, that may be quite a long section, but luckily, I think it may be possible to, I mean, a lot of the references are actually picked up by other reports, so that part may go more quickly than one would expect. It tends to be the same major documents over and over again.
Yeah.
And there is actually, I should have asked at the beginning, I'm very good at forgetting things like this. So I should have asked for any other business at the beginning. I know there's, there is one other thing of any other business, but I don't know if anything else. Okay, so I mean we haven't had time today to have a look at the code point file. So I will just ask quickly whether anybody has spotted anything in that file since we last met, because I think it's important that we keep it in our minds. In fact, you know, there have been two things we've discussed today which may affect it, but, especially things like combining marks, but whether there's anything else that...
The only thing is that the PDF link is point to the docx file on the agenda.
Oh, right. Yes. Okay. Actually, ironically, I think I did upload the PDF file, but I think I probably got the link wrong. It's very, I always do that with this link. Okay,
No problem.
Okay, now, there is one thing I would like to bring up, and that is actually Pinyin. So, at the moment, we have some... Not a large number, but we have some code points which are used in Pinyin, and at the moment in the document they are black.
Yes.
And
yes.
Because Pinyin is a romanization, and we have other romanizations in the, like for Indian languages, and the other romanizations are all red, but Pinyin is black. So I think my intention is to turn Pinyin red, because I think we really need to have a discussion about whether Pinyin is itself a sort of language, whether it is just for educational use. If it's educational use, then it really should not be there. But if it's actually its own language, then it should be there. And this is a debate we need to have, but I think until we have the discussion, probably it's best to have them to have those Pinyin code points read, because then at least we know that there could be an issue with them. So that was the thing that I noticed.
Yes, that is a good point.
Because I think certainly. What we have to be very careful that we are consistent, and I feel that is consistency. And also, Chinese, the other way of, phonetic way of writing down Chinese is bopo mofo, which is
quite a few,
that's right. That one is not allowed. So I think we have to be careful that we don't say, oh, you can't use bopo mofo, but you can't use Pinyin, because actually they're both, you could argue that they're both educational use. Or is this wrong? And actually Pinyin maybe has, I think Pinyin probably has more of a status than before, but just to what extent it is educational, whether it has become its own thing. If I could have found newsletters or newspapers or books written in, been blacker, but at the moment I think that it should be red until we can see. I think it's probably better to do it that way round. Have things as red until the potential. All right. Well, and Samad is saying some interesting things. So, agreed on Pinyin, yeah. So LGR is recommended to be inclusion-based, meaning by default grade points are not included, only included when they are short, yeah. I have to admit I don't feel totally happy about this. I think there are strong arguments on both sides, but probably because it is that situation, there are strong arguments on both sides. I think probably we're safer saying red, and we can effectively flag this as an issue. And that's a talk to the IP about it. In fact, I have a list of things which I want to say to the IP, and this is actually top of the list. That's all right. I mean, it's actually a very big issue, and it is, you know, what is the status of Romanization? That covers all of this. You know, if Pinyin is all right, then there may be quite a few code points which are used for the romanization of Indian languages, probably other languages. There's quite a batch of Indian languages. T with a dot under it, D with a dot under it, that sort of letter. So it would become black. Okay, well, perhaps many things to be thinking about as we enter the new year. We're going slightly over the time allocation, but before we finish, I will just mention that I know that I cannot run a meeting on the 19th of January, so we may need to move that meeting. But anyway, we can.
The 19th of...
Yes, so we are scheduled to have our next meeting on the 19th of January, but I'm in Germany in a small hotel, and I think that it's just going to be impossible to run the meeting.
I can't do it on the 19th either.
Okay, well, let us have a discussion about that meeting on the list, and we will reschedule. I know for a fact. Well, in that case, unless there's anything else, I'd like to thank you very much for brought up any interesting points, and I will circulate my notes of the meeting. There are several reasons for that, you know, so that we're sure that we follow up all of the things. But also, there are some people on the mailing list which who are French speaking, and they find it useful to have the notes. So I will circulate those. Thank you very much for attending. And I think I forgot to say it at the beginning of the meeting because I was fussing with technical problems. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you very much.
Bye.